Well, God bless you all. And those of you on the conference call, we're always blessed to have you fellowshipping with us. The title of my teaching is, This World is Not My Home, I'm Just a Passing Through. Mm-hmm. We have a wonderful song about that, and it is the truth that we are not of this world. But we're going to look at that to find out, where are we to be living, and how do we practically apply where we are today? I have to go so I can see everybody, not see Tom through that. When we heard God's word and believed that, we took on a new residence, a new nature, and a new identity. We are citizens of heaven. If you want to turn to Philippians 3:20, it says, For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus. So our citizenship is in heaven. You know, people have citizenships in different countries. Well, ours is in heaven. So we eagerly wait for the return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So with that eagerly waiting, do we pack our bags and sit on our doorstep holding binoculars waiting to see him come through? No, that would be silly, right? But how many Christians forget about the rest of the story? What are we looking for? How are we living this life? Romans 12:1, if you'd like to turn there. I'll go through these pretty fast because we've got a few verses to go through. But Romans 12:1 gives us a very good summary of what God expects of us and how do we deal with this life since we're just a passing through. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Or logical service. Because of what all God has done, he's called you into his family. We want to present ourselves a holy sacrifice, acceptable to God. And do not be conformed to this world. This is a point here. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That we don't conform. We don't fashion our lives after this world. That's how we can be just a passing through. We don't have to carry the strain, all the chaos that the world is going through. You know, if you read the newspaper enough, you get kind of confused. If you read the internet enough, you get pretty confused. Because there's lies out there. You don't know what the truth is, but I'll tell you what, the Word of God is true. And it's been proven since the time that it was first written that it is God's Word, that God inspired men to write the Word. It's God-breathed. So we are to prove what is that good and acceptable will of God, not our will. You know, Jesus said that he could have himself do nothing, that he only did the Father's will. So we carry out, we continue his assignment with the Father. So if we're trying to figure out, well, what is my place here in this world? Well, go back and see what Jesus did and look through, God's instructed us through the church epistles. And First John, all these, John, the Epistle of John, how we are to live in fellowship with him. But if you don't know the word, you would be kind of confused. I know when I didn't know the word, I thought God was an ogre, and when I was going to church, because I thought that you had to live a certain way, but you could be forgiven if you went into a box and confessed your sins. And my sins were pretty boring, so I would pick a few extra ones just to make life a little more exciting. But I didn't know God. And when I went around people that were looking, I went to Europe, and there are so many kids that were looking for answers. What is your purpose? And I couldn't tell him who God was except for some memorized script. But then I found when I asked God to show me the truth, it's when I realized that there was a whole world out there that was true, that you could depend on. But so we, since I've been blessed to receive that, you all have been blessed to receive the Spirit of God because we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord. Someone spoke that to us. We need to speak it to others.
Yep.
So it's an exciting life. We are on assignment with God. We are to carry out what is his good and perfect will. Philippians 3:12-14 talks about a goal that we press towards. And verse 12 says, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold on that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold on of me. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I don't understand everything, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So we forget about the things of the past. You know, we all made mistakes. And you know, it wasn't our fault. We were, Adam ruined it for us. So we had to hear the word to receive what was the truth. So we press towards that goal, reaching forward those things which are ahead at, for the upward calling. So we've already, there's a prize awaiting for us. There's a relationship that is fantastic, and all we have to do is walk out and believe God's word. But we forget the past. The past can drag us down because we can't do anything about it. But we always want to forge towards the future. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. I'm an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. I can do the works that Jesus did and greater works than these. These are the things that we have acquired because we are no longer citizens of this earth. We are citizens in heaven. We can lead someone to the new birth. In every good story, there's a conflict. So we have this new identity. We have this new residence. We have our citizens in heaven. But there is a conflict. And in 1 John 2, verses 15 and 17, remember, we're not of this world. We're going to see that. It says, do not love the world or the things that are in the world. And the world is referring to the ways of mankind, which was messed up by Satan, the devil. 1 John 2:15-17 says, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is in the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Mm-hmm. But there's a contrast there, right?
Yeah.
Here, God's saying, don't love the world. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. So the world didn't like Jesus because he only did the Father's will. We're going to find the same conflict in our lives if we stand faithful in God's word. Because he can't afford to have us speaking or living like Jesus did. How many Christians know it's Christ in them, the hope of glory? How many Christians know that they have the inheritance, they are joint heirs with Jesus Christ? Not many. I didn't know that. And I heard a lot of different things. So having received new life through the work of Jesus Christ, we no longer share an old man nature. And so many of the epistles talk about that. Don't walk in this, but walk in this. You know, we still are physically here. And we still have a mind that makes the decision of, are we going to believe what God says, or are we going to believe what NBC News says, CBS, whatever. I don't even know what they are anymore, which is a good thing. So there's a contrast, and we need to make a decision every moment of the day because we're thinking all the time, right? We think about a lot of things. And what's amazing is the world hasn't changed in 2,000 years from when Jesus was talking about some of this stuff. Let's go to John 17, 15 through 19. It says Jesus is talking to the Father, and he says, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. You know, 2,000 years ago, the evil one was still running around, and he's still running around today and will be until Jesus Christ comes back. That's why we're waiting for that, for the Lord to come. It says, they are not of the world just as I'm not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Sanctify it. Set them apart by the truth. We are set apart because we have that confidence. We don't have to be afraid. Fear, worry, and doubt is not from God. Love is. Perfect love casts out fear because fear has torment. God has never wanted us to be afraid of him or to be afraid for anything. He gave us that spirit of Christ within us that we could have power. Power, love, and a sound mind. So we have to realize that there are challenges in life. We will go through some things, but God is always there to build us up, to strengthen us. Why do some Christians struggle in their lifestyle? Their eyes are on the five senses. With healing, we've seen with Jeffrey Moore, one person, the doctors didn't think he would be the same person. And he's even developing a little more. and Alta told him from the very beginning, yes, he will. My God can do miracles. And it's truly a miracle. Because we were there a week ago or so, or maybe a week and a half ago, and he couldn't speak or anything. But it's just incredible. And that's what God wants. He wants his calling card to be that, those signs, wonders, and miracles. But we have to know that that's part of our new nature, to do those things. But so many people do not know the words, so they wrestle with a lot of things. We have been fully prepared for a victorious life in Christ when we deal with the battle of our minds. The battle really is in the mind. Joyce Meyer has a wonderful book, The Battlefield of the Mind. And that's the only way the devil can influence us is by thoughts. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, it talks about it says not to be ignorant of Satan's devices. And you know what that device is? I can read it too. It's 2 Corinthians 2, 10 and 11. It says, now whom you forgive anything, I also forgive. For if I have forgiven anything, I have forgiven that one for your sakes in the presence of Christ, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Well, what are his devices? It's all about this forgiveness. I don't even understand half of those forgive there, but forgiveness is such an important part of our daily walk, because if we don't forgive, the result is in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 21, Ephesians 3:21 in the NLT says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all evil behavior. Instead, be kind one to another. Isn't that cool? tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God through Christ has forgiven you. And that's the true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can forgive. You know, Jesus forgave those that put him on the cross. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. So we want to get rid of all those things that are of the world and look to that kindness, that love one another. That's pretty cool. I think that is just wonderful. Some of the bigger temptations that we will go through is our identity. Some days you may not feel like you're a son of God, but does that take away because you don't feel it? No. We have Holy Spirit. We have proof of that Holy Spirit by speaking in tongues, seeing the manifestations in operation. And then true worship. What is true worship? And John 4 says, true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for seeketh such to worship him. There's a lot of different religions out there, a lot of ways they think that they're going to get to God. Most of them are by works, by the law. But we know that through Jesus Christ, no man can come into the Father but through Jesus Christ. And we know how to worship God in spirit and in truth because we have that Holy Spirit within. Eve was the first to be tempted by the adversary. And in the garden, the adversary was shining and alluring. She listened to the words that contradicted God's word. And we have to watch that because that's what he does. He can only bring lies because he is the father of lies. Says the thief comes but to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus Christ came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. So it's a great contrast. And we're not deceived to not know why things happen in this world. But in Genesis 3:1, it says, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?'" He got her to question God's word instead of God's willingness to bless them. He knew God had blessed them. He gave them everything. And yet there was a doubt, and it just multiplied. Was God holding back from her and Adam? Of course not. Mm-hmm. And what God's desire for us is Ephesians 3:20. "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask and think." That's the God. That's the Heavenly Father that loves us and has provided this new life for us. That we are not of this world. We don't have to be torn apart by this world. Jesus was challenged with at the 40 days in the wilderness, and he was challenged with, "If you be the Son of God, you know, command this bread to be made into stone." And then the devil said again, he says, "If you be the Son of God, throw yourself down." Well, Jesus says, you know, you don't tempt the Lord thy God, and man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. What did he throw at him? The word of God. And the devil had to flee. And then he said, you know, "I've got all these mountains, and I can hand this to you if you bow down and worship me." Well, that's the same thing he wants from us today. And Jesus said, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." The devil left them, and the angels ministered unto him. Isn't that wonderful? And God so wants to take care of us. The devil today still wants to challenge the truth. He attacks God's character and intentions. He appeals to our basic human needs. We all need acceptance, worth, satisfaction, fulfillment, and happiness. The devil only throws out a lure that is a lie. and we don't want to take it. We don't need to take it because we know the truth. Colossians 3:2 says, set your affections or your thoughts on things above, not on things of this earth. And this Word of God is literally from above. I had an English class in college that was English as literature. And they looked at it as, you know, look at that verse, how that's conjugated and stuff. Missing the whole point of what the beauty and the power is. You can't read the Word without realizing the love and power that's behind it. But that's what we need to do, is continue to feed our minds, live practically on, I'm waiting for the Lord's return, and I'm gonna receive that prize. I've been called out. We were called out before the foundation of the world. That's a big deal. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. And we've been looking at faith and the fight of faith. How important is, we are called believers, right? Because what do? We believe. Right? So we have to know what we believe, and that's the Word of God. But Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. He exists. That's pretty easy. And that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You know, our lives are about today, not tomorrow. We know the whole picture. You could read the end of the story here very easily. But each day as we walk with God and know how much he loves us, we see our purpose. And we can handle those temptations that come our way. The more we speak the word and believe the word, that we fellowship with the Father, we see tremendous deliverance in our lives and those around us. Hebrews 12:1-2. We fight that good fight of faith. It says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, I think we went through this last Wednesday, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We deliberately choose to renew our minds, choose to believe God's word and his will as the truth, that we are set free. God is always for us and never against us. He loves us unconditionally and unfailingly. He has only good and no evil towards us. This perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. We can depend on him and our Lord Jesus Christ, and we have the authority that backs it up, in the name of Jesus. We rest in his presence. He will never leave us or forsake us. Our lives have great purpose, and as we remain temporarily on this earth, let's bring heaven to earth and show people how good our God is. Yeah. That's what I want to share with you tonight.
Oh, good. Thank you.